Jesus went down, Jesus went up. The Bible's trying to describe a part of that world that not all of us have been to. Jerusalem, you go up to go to Jerusalem. No matter from whatever side you come toward Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem, you go up. But Jesus also spent much of his time in Galilee. You go down to Galilee, the Sea of Galilee, their beautiful, beautiful Sea of Galilee. And in the middle, there's a place where the Samaritans were. The Samaritans were a group of people who were born half Jewish, and they were also half Gentile in birth. The Jews and the Samaritans did not have good relationships. John chapter 4, Jesus was going to the Sea of Galilee, but he had to go through Samaria. And in the city of Sychar, at a famous well, Jacob's well, Jesus was tired. Are you listening to me this morning? Come right here with me, right here. Jesus was tired. Jesus was weary from his journey. And he meets a woman at the well, and he says, "Give me a drink." See, what I'm trying to get you to do, many of you in this room, I know most of you as your pastor, it's hard for those of us who've read the Bible over and over to hear anything fresh. What I'm asking you to do these days is to go with me through these eyewitness stories in John and relive them in a fresh new way. Jesus now is sitting at a well, and Jesus is tired. Jesus was fully God in a human body, and he was fully human. Jesus was tired, and Jesus needed something to drink. He broke all the rules. The disciples were gone, and he says to this woman, first of all, a woman, secondly, a Samaritan, "Give me something to drink." And then Jesus proceeds to talk about drinking something that he will give that will satisfy our spiritual hungers forever, and we will experience eternal life. Okay, I'm going to pause right here. This could be the end of the sermon, but actually we haven't gotten started yet. Let me just say this. Number one, have you followed Jesus? Now don't say, "Well, Pastor Mike, I've been going to church a long time." I didn't say, have you gone to church? Have you followed Jesus? Are you a follower of Jesus? Secondly, have you been born again? Have you been born twice? Thirdly, have you, having been born again, experienced a satisfaction on the inside that's like water that just keeps you always satisfied, and inside there is an abundance and a joy and a peace and a satisfaction that no matter what happens in your life, you have experienced it? I'm describing what it means to be born again, to be a child of God. Well, today in chapter 5, we leave chapter 4, and we're not reading about this, but Jesus also, when he was in Cana of Galilee, he healed a nobleman's son. Before that, before Jesus left Samaria, we read these amazing words in John 4:42. They were saying to the woman at the well, you see, the woman met Jesus, she ran back to town and told them all, "Come see a man who told me all about everything I've done. Could this be the Messiah?" Now all the city comes to Jesus. Jesus stays two more days, and the Bible says, "It is no longer because of what you said to us that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves and know that this one is indeed the Savior of the world." I want you to think about it. These Samaritans were making the good confession. They confessed that Jesus was the Savior of the world. So leaving Samaria, he heals this nobleman's son, miraculous healing. Now we read some of the saddest words in all the Bible. You know what we learn about the wonderful, wonderful grace of Jesus? Jesus meets people in all kinds of places. He meets people in all kinds of places. So I'd like for you to stand now in honor of God's word, and we're going to read in John chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. Relive these words now, church. Relive these words. Read them as if it's for the first time. After these things, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the Sheep Gate a pool. So one of the entrances of the city was called the Sheep Gate. This is north of the temple, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. So there is a pool with five porches called Bethesda. Verse 3. In these porches lay a multitude, many multitude, of those who were sick, blind, lame, and withered. These people were in desperate, hopeless, helpless condition, waiting for the moving of the waters. Now I'm reading the last part of verse 3 and 4. Some Bibles do not include in their translation because these words did not appear in the earliest manuscripts we have of the Bible. But I'm reading from the New American Standard that includes them. Notice verse 3. In these lay a multitude of those who were sick, blind, lame, and withered. And here's a phrase I'm going to talk about. Waiting for the moving of the waters. For an angel of the Lord went down at certain seasons into the pool and stirred up the water. Whoever then first, after the stirring up of the water, stepped in was made well from whatever disease with which he was afflicted. A man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been a long time in that condition, he said to him, "Do you wish to get well?" Or, "Do you wish to become whole?" The sick man answered, "Sir." Notice he did not call him Lord. He did not call him Rabbi. He did not call him Jesus. He says, "Sir." He didn't know who this was. "I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said, "Get up, pick up your pallet, and walk." Immediately the man became whole. He became well and picked up his pallet and began to walk. Verse 14, after Jesus found him, this same man now who is whole, in the temple, he says to him, "Behold," or "look," pay attention, "you have become well. Do not sin anymore so that nothing worse happens to you." Now, Heavenly Father, as we stand before you with the copy of God's Word in your hand and these words as we've heard them, these eternal words, the story of the glory and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, may Jesus meet every person here today, Lord, I pray. May Jesus meet every person here today. Lord Jesus, you said where two or three are gathered together in your name, you're in the midst. May Jesus, may you meet every person in this room today. Help us to see the desperate condition of those who are lost and without Jesus. And help us to see the wonderful power of how you, Jesus, change our lives and make us whole through this story of this helpless, hopeless man. May we be a church that tells other people about Jesus. And my words honor Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. So I'd like to give you four observations from this story just in the next few minutes that we have together. The Pool of Bethesda is one place where we would not suspect that we would find the Savior of the world, but nevertheless we do. This is the beauty of Jesus. I often say this, you know, when you visit hard, sick places, when you visit places where there are people in despair and trouble. You know, our church, we have a very good ministry to our nursing care facilities. We go there, all of us pastors, many of our deacons, others of us, we go to those places. Those are hard places to go. Many people don't like to go there. But I'll tell you, Jesus walks in the midst of those places. Jesus walks among not just the religious. Jesus walks not just among the Samaritan type people. Jesus walks among the sick, the broken, the lame. Look again at verse 3. There were a multitude at the pool of Bethesda in these porches. Why, they were lined up. Use your mind's eye. The water's in the center of this pool. Because of the tradition or because of this action of the angel stirring the waters, someone could get in and be healed. They were pressed around the water, but there wasn't enough room. They're lined up. They're stacked back up in the patio area. There's a multitude of people at the pool trying to find a way, trying to do something on their own to be made whole. Jesus is now in the presence of hopeless and helpless people who are trying to make themselves whole. What a story. What an example of what's happening in our own world today. I want you to see again verse 3, this pitiful statement. It's recorded in some of your Bibles. It's recorded in the New American Standard and several translations. This multitude were laying sick and blind and lame with withered hands and stems of their body and limbs of their body, waiting for the moving of the waters. What's their hope? Their hope is that the water will move and they can be the first one in and they can be made whole. They were waiting, these sick and helpless and hopeless people with nowhere else to go, just north of the temple where the sacrifices are made and the songs are sung and the priests do their work and the people bring their offerings, just north of that place. These people, these miserable people in their sickness and their illness, surrounding a pool that one is trying to beat the others to get in to save and heal themselves. It's a picture of people without Jesus. There's no praying going on in Bethesda at this pool. There's no Bible reading going on here. Jesus now, going to the feast, detours and goes to the miserable place, the pool of Bethesda. You know, people are like this today. They're waiting for the waters to move. They're waiting for the waters to move. Waiting for the angel to touch the water. Waiting to get their miracle. Competing to get in before the other person. It's not everybody. It's just one. And you've got to do your part. You've got to earn your way in. You can't be made whole unless you do what you're supposed to do. It sounds like the religions of the world. It sounds like a lot of people I talk to when you talk to them about Jesus. They don't know so much about Jesus. They'd rather just wait at the waters till they move. Well, there are people today who are waiting for the government. Can you imagine that? Waiting for the government to do what? Good luck with that. Waiting for the government. Waiting to get rich. If I can get rich, I'll be whole. I went the other day to a gas station to fill up my car with gas, and Pat wasn't with me, so I did what I did confess this to Pat, so I'm confessing this to you now as part of my illustration here. I went in there, and I don't usually do it, but that day I just needed a Dr. Pepper and some peanut M&Ms, so I went in there. And I went in there hurrying to do it. I was in Burns, kind of out of my area. I didn't want anybody to see me, you know, in there. Went in there, I thought I'd just run right in, and lo and behold, this line is clear out the door. I thought, oh my soul, I've already got my stuff, and I am not letting go of these peanut M&Ms and Dr. Pepper. So the guy in front of me brings all of his things up there, items. Very unique what you see people buy, by the way, in a gas station store. But he decided he's going to get, I'm not making this up, he decided he's going to get his lottery tickets. I thought, oh Lord, here we go, I got to wait now. And I don't even have a chair to sit in. I'm going to wait for this guy to get his lottery tickets. Oh, he's all fired up. He cannot wait to get these. And the fellow says to him on the way out, you know, well, well, good luck to you. And he said, yes, I'm just waiting to get rich. Like the men and women laying around this pool, waiting for the water to move, waiting to get rich, waiting on the government to come through, waiting on a new job, waiting on a new relationship, waiting somehow doing religious things in order to, if I do this for God, I'll be good enough. The pool at Bethesda is a place of works. It's a place where you wait for the water to move. It's a pitiful example. It's a pitiful example, but a very powerful one of what it means to be lost. You see, there's nothing of God at the pool of Bethesda. It's all about what you do. You got to get in the water at the right time. If you miss it, so sad, too bad. Folks, there are people laying by the water waiting for it to move all around us. Not just around the world. No. They live next door to us. They go to school with us. They work with us. They're waiting for the waters to move. And I'm lingering on this because I'm trying to make a point to this church. I have all morning tried to make this point. Look around. Jesus was among people waiting for water to move. And the Son of God is among this midst of people, and they do not even know it is the Messiah. The second observation is this. Jesus asks, he asks the best questions, but we never understand Jesus' questions. And the question he asked to this man, so we read, among this multitude of pitiful people, there was a man, verse 5, who'd been ill for 38 years. Jesus saw his condition in verse 6, and he knew that he had been in this condition. Jesus knows everything. He knows everything. He knows our conditions. He knew the condition. And what does he say? He asks the craziest question. Do you want to get well? Literally, this word for well, this Greek word is a word to mean to be made whole. Do you want to be made whole? And the man says, sir, I have no one to put me in the pool when the water is stirred, but while I'm coming, another steps down. I couldn't get there. I worked hard to get there, to get whole, but I couldn't get it. It was only for somebody else. It wasn't for me. I worked to get it, but I couldn't get it. That's the story of the pool of Bethesda. The place where you can't get there. It's not, you're not fast enough. You're not good enough. You can't work hard enough. And Jesus says, do you want to get well? I'm going to ask everybody here today. Do you want to get well? You know, a lot of people like misery, and they like pouring their misery all over everybody else. Do you know anybody else like that? Don't raise your hand if they're sitting next to you now. Don't raise your hand. They just love misery. They don't want to be happy. They don't want to be saved. They don't want to. They just want to gripe and live. They want to live by the pool, waiting for the water to move and make everybody miserable all the way along. Do you want to be made well? You know, a lot of times you talk to somebody about knowing Jesus, they don't really want to be made well. They'd rather stay by the pool, as the man says, and wait for the water to stir and try to be the first one in. This is the Son of God. This is Jesus Christ speaking with this man who has no hope, who has no awareness, but Jesus has surprised him. Jesus has surprised him and asked this question. Do you want to be whole? You know, the Bible tells us a lot about this. Ephesians chapter 2 says we're all dead in our sin. I want to tell you something. At the pool of Bethesda, we learn this. You can never save yourself. You can never make yourself whole. Government's not going to do it. You're worrying about that retirement? Good luck with that. You're going to have to trust Jesus, aren't you? Family's not going to do it for you. The church can't make it happen for you. No, you're waiting for the waters to stir. Oh, getting rich won't do it for you. And Jesus says to a man who's waiting for the waters to stir, who's trying to get there on his own, do you want to be made whole? Well, I got to go on. The third thing we see is this astounding thing. Notice, here's the man's statement, verse 7. Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred, but while I'm coming, another steps down before me. In other words, I'm trying to work to get myself whole, and Jesus simply says, get up, pick up your pallet, and walk. That's the power of Jesus Christ. When you meet Jesus, your life will never be the same. When you meet Jesus, I didn't say when you got over here by the Baptist church. No, I'm talking about when you meet Jesus. When you have a personal encounter with Jesus Christ, your life will never be the same. He reshapes our lives. And all of a sudden, this fellow's life, this man's reality has just changed. For 38 years, he's been ill. By the way, it doesn't say he was at this pool of Bethesda for 38 years. It simply says he's been ill for 38 years. Somehow he's made his way to this place before. We don't know the whole story, but here's the authority of Jesus. Get up, pick up your pallet, and walk. Do what you've never done. Kind of like describing being born twice. You can't birth yourself. Nobody here birthed themselves. Remember, I took a poll on this a couple weeks ago. I asked, how many of you birthed yourself in here? If you were not here that day, you missed the poll. And you know what? Nobody birthed themselves. Somebody had to do that for us. Being born again is what God does. Jesus changes people. And immediately, verse 9, he became whole. He picked up his pallet and began to walk. You know what Jesus said in John chapter 6? The Son gives life to whomever he wishes. So there's lots of speculation. We study this story. Everybody says, why didn't Jesus heal everybody? Why did he step over everybody, go to the one man? I'm going to just say it again. The Son of God, the Son of God. John 6:20, the Son gives life to whom he wishes. This man met Jesus. It's all of grace. It's all of mercy. This man asked for nothing. He didn't know. He didn't even know who was speaking to him. He didn't even know who he was. He gets in trouble with the religious rule keepers. You know, there's always religious rule keepers. People get whole and then they meet the religious rule keepers. Oh my God, help us not to be a church where people get born again, get excited for Jesus, and then they run into the religious rule keepers. Talk about downer. Talk about putting you in despair. Who told you you could walk around with that pallet? Don't you know today's a Sabbath? Don't you know the rules? This man's never walked. And now he's walking, but he's been reminded of the rules. Let us keep the rules. Well, they have a long discussion, and we pick up in verse 14. What a wonderful, wonderful thing. Jesus finds him in the temple now. He's not at the pool of misery and helplessness anymore. He's at the temple. He's now at the temple, the place of honoring God and offerings and worshiping God. And Jesus, this is the way the Lord works. This chapter is all about how Jesus finds us, how Jesus saves us, how he shows us his grace. You see, in John chapter 1, the Bible tells us Jesus is, John writes and says, we saw Jesus' glory with our own eyes. He was full of grace and truth. This is a chapter about the grace of Jesus. There was nothing in this man. He had no idea of who he was dealing with. And Jesus comes to him knowing his desperate condition. He heals him and makes him whole. And now he finds him again. But this is how I end today. He warns. I want you to see now how my my outline changed. Jesus heals the man, and now the healed man gets a warning from Jesus. I don't ever apologize for the words of Jesus. A lot of times, you know, preachers and teachers will try to worry and try to take Jesus' words and now what he really meant. We're going to use his words, and then you can take his words the same as I'm going to take them. All right? Now, sometimes we don't like Jesus' words the way they just are. We need them to be maybe fixed for us. But now, he says to a healed man, a man that he has made whole. Do you see it here? He says, you have become whole. In other words, you're a changed man. Look what Jesus says. Do not sin anymore. So that nothing worse happens to you. So this man who's been made whole now is confronted, and his first instructions from Jesus, his first instructions, just like last week, he says to the woman, go call your husband. She says, I don't have a husband. Jesus says, you're right. You've been married 5 times and you're living with a man right now. She was stunned. Now Jesus says to this man, you become well. Don't sin anymore. Now may I say this to this church? May I say this to all of us? I've said it. I've looked at it myself. I've prayed and thought about this in my life. Jesus has asked me, do you want to be well? Yes, I do, Lord. Get up and walk. Get up. Get up. Move on from here. But then the Lord says to me, Mike, you've been made well. Do not sin anymore. Change your life. Change the way you live. Change the places you go. Change what you say. Change the way you think. You are well. Don't sin anymore so that nothing worse happens to you. You know, those of us who understand the rest of God's word that's been given to us, Paul taught us about this, that sometimes Christians can go back to their old fleshly ways. He says, go back to our being carnal, being fleshly. We can, being born again, yes, we're born again, but we go back. We go back to these old ways of thinking, these old attitudes. We go back. Listen, I want you to hear what Jesus says to us as a church. You have become whole. Do not sin anymore. Live a life of holiness. Follow Jesus every day. Trust the Lord. Rely upon the Holy Spirit who's been given to you to give you direction for life. You have been made well. Do not sin anymore. So that nothing worse happens to you. You know, Paul also teaches us a saying. Most of us have grown up saying it. And out here in Dixon, we really understand this saying. You reap what you... Yeah. So I'm a new person in Christ. I have a new nature that is not given to sin. So make sure, Paul says, that the old man dies, the old Mike, and you live by the new man, Mike, who's been born again anew, and you don't sin anymore. Well, now, Pastor Mike, I've got a lot of questions about that because of my background, my theological. No, I'm just telling you what Jesus said. Do not sin anymore so that nothing worse happens to you. Oh, the pain. Oh, the pain of choosing to do things, even after we're born again, that leave a lifetime mark on us. Don't sin anymore so that nothing worse happens to you. So today Jesus walked in the pool of Bethesda among people who are trying to save themselves. That's the world. World religions, save yourself. Businesses, save yourself. Governments, save yourself. selfishness of man. Save yourself. You can't save yourself. Jesus steps into the world of saving yourself and says, get up and walk. Do you want to be made well? And if you've been made well, don't sin anymore. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus' words. They do challenge us at our deepest part of our being. They remind us of what you've done for us. Lord, we don't know what happened to this man who was healed by Jesus. We don't know if he followed Jesus. We don't know if just after he told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who healed him, he went his way and was unthankful. We don't know his condition. But Lord, many of us here today know our condition. Lord, I know in the number of people who are here today, some are still laying by the pool waiting for the water to move. Lord, there are people in this room trying to save themselves. Only Jesus can save. It's the pure grace and mercy and power of God that saves us. Others of us here today, we've been made whole, but we've gone far away from walking with God. We've blamed everybody else but ourselves for the miserable condition we're in. We're reaping what we've sown. We've made excuses. We've blamed others. We've even blamed you, Lord. But in our hearts and in our lives, we must confess our sin and come back and be restored. Some of us who've been made whole, but we've been living in sin again. Or perhaps you're here this morning and recently you have prayed to receive Christ. And you have prayed to receive Christ. The next thing is for you to come and tell this church that you have received Christ and then to let us work with you so that you might follow the Lord in baptism as a disciple of Jesus. Others of you need to join this church. There are decisions that need to be made here. And we gather here every week, and I appeal to you the same way. Look, you're not going to have forever, friend. I wish you did, but you don't. You don't have forever. We just have today, 11:33, right here, Sunday morning. Do you know Jesus? Do you need to meet him? Do you need to be saved? Do you need to come to the Lord? Do you need to come back to God? Put aside all your excuses, your whole, don't sin anymore. What is it that God's calling you to do? Well, our pastors will be here at the front. I'll be here. If you need to make a public commitment from the balcony or below, we invite you to do it. What's the Lord saying to you right now? Let's stand together. Eric's going to lead us as we sing. We're going to sing without him. I can do nothing. That's exactly what this is about. If you need to come this morning, you're among friends. You come on right now if you need to come. Anybody here, come on.
Without anybody in the house, I could do nothing.
You need to come. Come on.
Without him, I'd surely fail. Without him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Jesus, do you know him today? Do not turn him away. Oh Jesus, without him, how lost I would be. Without him, I could be dying. Without him, I'd be enslaved. Without him, life would be hopeless. But with Jesus, thank God, I'm saved. Jesus, oh Jesus, do you know him today? Do not turn him away. Oh Jesus, Without him, how lost I would be. Without him, I could do nothing. Without him, I'd surely fail. Without him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Jesus, oh Jesus.
Is there anybody else here that needs to come this morning? Anybody else?
Do you know him today? Do not turn him away. Oh Jesus, without him, how lost I would be.
Would you bow your heads, please? Thank you for just your patience as we deal with these who've come this morning. Leslie, if you'll play just for a moment. I always believe when people come and they step forward in a public invitation, it gives everybody else another chance. Somebody else who needs to do what God's calling you to do. Some of us, he's been dealing with us a long time. So what about today? While we have our heads bowed, Eric's going to sing one more verse. No one comes, that'll be it. As he sings, we invite you to come. You need to come.
Without him, I could be dying. Without him, I'd be enslaved. Without him, life would be hopeless. But with Jesus, thank God, I'm saved. Jesus, oh Jesus, do you know him today? Do not turn him away. Oh Jesus, without him, how lost I would be.
Right, if you'll just remain standing for a moment, we want to introduce these who are coming this morning. And Amanda, if you'll come stand with me here. This is Amanda Lewis, and Amanda came this morning. She and I prayed. She received Christ this morning. Are you glad? Amen. Isn't that good?
Yes.
Yep. So, Amanda met Jesus. Some of the rest of you, you need to meet Jesus. You need to meet Jesus. So if you join me, we're going to be talking to Amanda about what it means to follow Jesus, what we do as a church to help people follow on with their commitment to the Lord. If you join me, there's a whole bunch of them out here, and they're all pretty nice most of the time. Most of them are, Amanda. If you join me in celebrating with her that she's come to know the Lord, trusted Christ, would you raise your hand, say amen? Let's give her a hand. Let's give her a hand. Y'all want to come stand up here? Come on, stand up here with Amanda. All right, Ken, if you'll come, we have some others to introduce. We're going to have them stay right here with us. And then at the end of the service, we want you to come by and say welcome to all these folks who've come to be a part of our family. All right, Ken.
All right, church family. We have Ronnie and Judy Estes. If you'll come on up, that would be great. Ronnie and Judy come to us from transfer of letter from East Hickman Baptist Church. And we're excited to have them with us. If you join with me in congratulating them here, just raise your hand.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's give
Thank
them a
you.
Hand. You guys, come on over here. Come on over. Come on over.
All right, we got one more, Pastor Mike.
All right, Ryan.
Two more,
right
actually. We got Jennifer Cochran and Curtis is coming to us to join the church today by membership. She's coming by a statement of faith. So just like to welcome them to our congregation this morning. So if you rejoice in their decision, just raise your hand and say amen and welcome them.
Amen. Would you give them a hand? All right. God bless you for being here. We'll be here as soon as we sing together as we go out. Come by and say a word of greeting to all. Many of us in this room have stood right here, haven't we? We know what it's like. Come by and say a word. Look, you're not going to beat the Methodists up there at the front porch today, nor the Church of Christ. You're just going to have to get in line at McDonald's. God bless you. Let's sing together.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here.